home in this world anymore. And that's a good thing, because this world is certainly not exactly going the way that I would like it to go. It's a good thing to be here with all of you this morning. We have visitors with us, and we certainly want you to know that you're welcome and honored guests. And we pray that the things that we say and do this day would uplift you, and that they would help you as they help us to understand the great things of God and His love for us, and through the sacrifice of Jesus our Lord, that we can have the forgiveness of sins if we just would come to Him and obey His most precious and holy word. You know, we live in a world today that is really not what we would consider a holy world. And that's why I would ask this morning that song be sung, This World Is Not My Home. And yet, as we go along day to day, there are things that happen in the world, and they can be troubling to the saints of God. And just as per the world, another sad day in our country just happened this past Friday, when the Supreme Court of our land ruled 5-4 that same-sex couples could freely marry in every state in the Union. And the court upheld that was what the 14th Amendment of our Constitution requires, and that these marriage licenses have to be issued in every state, and took away the right of each state/individual to make those choices. And so it is a sad thing. And you know, but what's really sad isn't that event. Because we've been listening to those kinds of decisions being made for years. It's nothing new. But what's sad is when it seems to that what the world does out there shakes members of the church. And when I think of the internet and some of my brethren on the internet that they post, and I'm certainly not advocating the Facebook. There's many reasons why we should probably shy away from that, or at least be extremely careful. But sometimes, you know, we show an unfaithfulness when we begin to start almost an angry or advocate overthrowing the government, or displaying our distress and our frustration, and in some ways even a disbelief that the world would make such a decision. And yet we're God's children. We're God's children. And we need to consider the way in which we respond to these events that take place in our world, and make sure that we turn all our trust to God. After all, He's the one that created us. We didn't make ourselves. And the thing is that when I look at responses of many, sometimes I see responses that are not spiritual in their nature. And so other people in the community who are reading those responses, who are outside the body of Christ, get a perverted view, if you will, of the life of a Christian. And so we need to turn our trust to God. He's the one who supplies all our needs. He's the one that is always with us. In the book of Psalm chapter 100, the psalmist said, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. And He made us, and not ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." Listen, He's our great shepherd. He is the protector of the saints. And nothing that this world does should shake us so. Because we should understand that is the way of the world. Ungodliness, unrighteousness, things that are contrary and against good doctrine, that's just the way the world is. And it's been going on for a long, long time, and it should not shake us. So the question that I'd like to ask to begin with today is, how should we as Christians respond to this world's continued ungodliness? How should we respond as Christians? Should we be outraged? Should we make posters and signs and go out and demonstrate out there in front of the government buildings, as some do? Should we display some form of righteous anger, righteous indignation that the world can see how upset we are over this event? Should we take up arms and fight? And you know, the reason I put that there is because there were a few who advocated such. And remember, the world, when we say we're on the internet or Facebook, one person may say one thing and they have 300 friends, and those 300 friends have 3,000 friends and 4,000 and 5,000 and so on. A lot of people can see what you say. So we need to be careful, and I've seen that. What kind of attitude should we display over this recent ruling of the Supreme Court? Well, listen to this scripture. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. To begin with, that's our attitude. It should be one that can't be shaken. What this world does around me certainly doesn't please me, but it doesn't shake me. It doesn't move me. I'm the Christian, the child of God, and we need to be that kind of people with that kind of attitude. When somebody says, well, you're a Christian, what do you think about what happened? Listen, I'm unshaken. The world's going to do what the world does. But I have God's grace, and I serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. This does not move me. I'm a Christian. And so we say we're going to remain steadfast and immovable and just always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what we want to do. That's that mindset that we should have. You know, what you think determines what you do. Follow me here. What you think up here, or some people would say in here, determines what you do. And what you do develops your habits. Things that you habitually do, seemingly without control. And what your habits do is they define your worldview. They literally define you and what you think about things and how they go on around you. And you know what? Your worldview defines where you're going to spend eternity. Changing your habits and the way you think and the things that you do can direct your eternity. Some people in this world have been misled by false teachers just by taking away or adding simple words to scriptures. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. They say, he who believes and is baptized in the Spirit shall be saved. We add something. That changes our worldview. The scripture says, he who believes and is baptized, and people say, no, all you have to do is believe and you'll be saved. Take not a couple words. That changes your worldview. What you think and what you believe becomes habits and defines you, and it defines where you will spend eternity. And so we need to be a people that can't be shaken. We need to do that. Listen, we live in a crooked and perverse generation. In Philippians chapter 2, in verses 12 through 15, Paul writes, therefore, my beloved brethren, always obey, not in my presence only, but also much more in my absence. That's what the Apostle Paul tells us to do. And then we need to do that in light of our relationship with the Lord Jesus. Paul says, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, for it's God who works in you both to do will and to do good according to His pleasure. And so we need to be a people that aren't shaken. And we need to be a people who do everything without arguing, without complaining, so that we become blameless children of God. Harmless, if you will. We're children without fault in the midst of a what? Perverse generation. We're going to shine as lights. But we don't shine as lights if we have the wrong attitude and the wrong response to things. We can't respond the way the world responds. We need to respond according to the Spirit of grace. We need to be a people who aren't shaken up in this perverse generation. Now, this was written yesterday by me, but I copied it. It was written 2,000 years ago by Paul. And so he was saying it 2,000 years ago. Nothing new, right? In light of the darkness. I chose that title, kind of a play on words. And I want you to understand how important it is. What our attitude should be, the one of peace. Peace, because peace is the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5 and 22, love, joy, peace. And we go on with gentleness, kindness, meekness, mercy. Those are the fruits of the Spirit of God. And that's the way in which we should respond. We should respond peaceably. Because that's what our Father blesses us with. And the Spirit of truth that teaches us that our great God is all-knowing. Our great God is ever-present with us. He's there amidst us in our lives. And so we can have peace because He gives us this peace. You think of Philippians 2 and verse 15. The Scripture says that we need to become blameless and harmless children of God without fault. Now, we who walk according to the Spirit are the children of the peace that surpasses all understanding. You know, in light of all this trouble that's going on in the world, in light of the darkness, we're a children of the peace that surpasses all understanding. You know, in my mind, what that means is very simply that something terrible and crazy happens in the world, and instead of reacting the way the world does, I'm just somebody who has peace about it. I don't appreciate it. I think it's terribly wrong, and certainly the world's being led down a one-way street to a place we just don't want to be. But it doesn't take away my peace. It doesn't cause me to be irrational. We're children of God without fault in the midst of a perverse generation. We are the lights that shine, children of peace that surpass all understanding. Listen, that's what we need to be. In our scriptures that we read, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to God, let your request be known to God. If we don't feel right, or if we have a anxiousness or troubles on coming down upon us, and the world around us is causing us to have problems, we need to be just like our Lord Jesus. When those troubles came, He went into that garden alone and He prayed and He prayed and He prayed. And you know, God heard His prayer, because if you study that account, it says that an angel came and ministered to Him. See, He had peace. He had to face the cross. He knew how horrible and terrible that would be, but He had peace. And He went to that cross saying, your will be done. He had peace. He had peace that surpasses all understanding. You can't be taken to the cross and being beaten and horribly ripped open and have peace. But He knew that was going to happen. And He had that peace that surpasses all understanding. It makes no sense at all. But He had it, because it's a gift of God. And when we hear about the same-sex marriage result. It's just another thing in the world. We, you know, there was also something about the flag of the rebel flag is going to be taken down. And I saw hundreds and hundreds of posts of people that were just angry over that. They were trying to say, well, if you're going to take that down, you've got to take all these down. And why is this? And they're making a bigger thing out of it than anybody else. Listen, peace. How can we have peace is the question that people would ask when the world around us is incessantly, persistently, and perpetually growing more and more ungodly every day. How can you have peace in that? How did Jesus have peace in the garden? Because it comes from God. Listen, I have a question. When we think of this, were we at peace last week before this thing came down? Were we at peace before they said they were going to take away the Confederate flag? Because that peace should still be there. Did we have peace even after the fact that Roe versus Wade opened the door for abortions? Do we have peace because adultery and fornication and divorce runs rampant in our world? Do we still have peace? Of course we do. We have peace because the peace comes from the Father, the Son, through the Holy Spirit of God. Should I lose my peace because of some decision that the men make in this world? This world's full of those kind of decision makers. And they're always at odds with one another. In fact, that's why we have so many wars going on. And we just don't want to follow them. We have peace because we follow the wisdom that comes from above, from our Father. So why would things that happen in this world cause Christians to appear to lose that peace? Listen. Look at this chart. This just boggles my mind. I hope you can see that. But that lists all the 9 current justices. And what I'm noticing here is that they're Roman Catholics, Jewish men. Aside from the Jewish men who are religious men, who are obviously men who want to seek the right ways of God, to Roman Catholics who the world perceives as the Christians of the world. And yet they make a decision like that. At least 5 out of the 9 made that kind of a decision. You know, we can't be focused on the issues. Why? There's a question. Why? Why is it that some people are looking at this same-sex issue to cause such an outrage or to incite us in so many different ways other than any other sin? Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. And we read what Paul's written to the church. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicator, right? Idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. None of those will inherit the kingdom of heaven. You notice he lists them all equal. And so one shouldn't be any worse over the other. And when you think about that, what are the sin of fornication? That's listed right there. That's a sexual sin. And it runs rampant in our world. In every magazine, every movie, among the young and the old. And yet, it doesn't seem to bother people as much. Have we grown accustomed and acceptable? Has it grown acceptable? Listen, idolaters. Do you know what an idolater is? It comes from 2 Greek words, idon or ido, which has to do with perception or seeing, And it comes from latris, which means a servant, a hired servant. And those two words together refer to somebody who's worshiping or serving an image. Well, that should, we should be outraged at that. Tell me that you don't know in this world that people are worshiping and serving images. Our neighbors, our friends, even some members of the body are worshiping images through all kinds of vessels or vehicles. Their love of sports, their love of certain kinds of literature, their love of the garden at the home, or the things that they put above God. Some people love all kinds of things other than or above the Lord. And that's what that word means. You know, adulterers, sodomites, thieves, drunkards, revilers. We need to disapprove of all sin equally, because every sin separates us from God, doesn't it? And yet we tend to get a little more excited over certain sins, but let's not do that. Let's be a people of peace. You know, sinful hands casting stones. Think about that. Jesus said, "He who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone." Throw the first stone at her. And she was caught in adultery. And yet the people were enraged over that. It is no different. We just need to look in the mirror constantly and realize that we are not a people without sin. We're a people who are repenting and growing and turning away from sin. And so if we're going to throw a stone, we need to throw it our way, right? You think about that. People with sinful hands. We know that all sin condemns, because what? All sin is unrighteousness. 1 John 5 and 17. As God's children of peace that surpasses all understanding. We can't differentiate between sins. We can't pick and choose which ones are bad and which ones aren't bad. We just need to repent of our sins, be the lights in the world, and be at peace so that people can see our peace and they're drawn to that. So we ask another question: how can we be at peace in a world that's filled with sin and death? How can you do that? And so here's some answers. First of all, we have peace because this world's not our home. Remember that song we just sang? This world is not our home. You know, I say our home because I think we ought to change the words to that song. Make it a little more spiritual in the sense that it's all about us. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon us from heaven's open door. And we can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, we know we have no friend like you. If heaven's not our home, then Lord, what will we do? The angels beckon us from heaven's open door. And we can't feel at home in this world anymore. We need to keep our eyes focused on where we're going to be. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, Paul writes, "Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." This world's not our home. We have another home, a home in heaven. Because you have a home awaiting. John 14, 1 through 6. You believe in God. "Let not your hearts be troubled," Jesus said. "You believe in God, believe also in me." See? "For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." We have a place waiting us. We should be at peace because nothing can take that away. Nothing that world does out there should take away our peace. Nothing that they do should take away the love that we have for one another. And nothing that world does or says or commits or decides should take away the joy that we have. See, we have peace because the world is not our home, because we have a home awaiting us in heaven, and because we know that the Lord is coming back. Jesus says, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I will return again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you may be also. You see, that's why we should have just put peace. Peace because we keep His commandments and we serve Him. John 14 and 21, He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he who loves me and does the will be loved by my Father. And so we have perfect peace because we know that we keep His commandments. Randy mentioned this morning, book, chapter, verse. We have the Spirit of God right here, book, chapter, verse. And we just want to follow that. We don't worry about all the other doctrines and creeds and so on. We just have the Bible, book, chapter, verse. And when we follow that, the world thinks we're crazy. But we have the peace. We are the children of the peace that surpasses all understanding. And that's what you must have. You know, if you're outside of His will, you're not going to have that peace, and you know it as well as I do. But when you have that will of God working in your life, when you're a person that keeps His commandments and a person that serves Him, He will manifest Himself to you through the Spirit, through His Word. You'll know Him. And you'll have that great relationship. John 12, 26, whoever serves me follows me, Jesus said. You know what Jesus said? And where I am, my servant will also be. And my Father will honor him who serves me. And so we need to keep His commandments and serve Him. And that'll bring peace into it. Because you know Jesus is coming back. We mentioned that a minute ago. In John 14 and 4, I will return again and receive you unto myself. In John 14, 18, Jesus says, I won't leave you orphans. I will come to you, Jesus said. We have peace. We're the children of the peace that surpasses all understanding. And the world can't figure it out. And we should be those lights that shine in the world, so that the world can see our peace. We don't want to be drawn and dragged through the mud of the world. And we don't want the world to overcome us and incite us and get us all bent out of shape. And we have peace. Nobody can take away that peace. And we need to act like that. Revelation 22 and 20, Jesus said, surely I'm coming quickly. And listen to that. We say amen. He's coming. And even so, come, Lord Jesus. We have peace because we know it's so. We have peace because we're members of His kingdom. Colossians 1 and 13, He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us or translated us into the kingdom of His Son, of His will. We are in a kingdom. We have a King who's all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever-present. And we have peace. And nobody can take that away. Who can defeat our King? Who can destroy His Word? Who can overcome His Spirit? Who? See, we have peace that surpasses all understanding. In John 18 and 36, it's because we're not of this world, like that song said. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my disciples, my servants, they would have fought you. That's what Jesus said. When they were trying to deliver Him to the cross, turning Him over. My disciples, they're not of this world. If they were, they would have fought. My kingdom is not of this world. You see, we don't act like the world. The world would take up arms and swords and they would have fought tooth and nail and some people would have died and souls would be lost. But we're not like the world because we're part of a kingdom that's not of this world. And Jesus says, listen, but now my kingdom, it's not from here. And that's why when the whole world's all bent out of shape and frustrated, we have peace that surpasses all understanding. That wisdom, that peace, it comes from above. James says it comes from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It's that peace that comes from the wisdom which comes from above, which is first peaceable and gentle. And we have that because we're God's children. And because we have renewed minds. You know, Paul said in Romans, you know, not to be conformed by this world, by the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when we do that, we prove to the world what is that good and acceptable, pleasing and acceptable will of God. Because we have that peace. Because our minds have been renewed. We're not moved. We're not shaken by what the world does. And we're not in love with this world. It's just a fact. The Lord tells us, don't love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father's not in him. And so we can't be like that. We can't let the world and its troubles move us. We need to focus on Him. The reason that we can have peace as God's children is because we're kept by God. Remember, we read in the Psalm, He's our shepherd. He's the one that made us. You know, the sheep don't run around going, oh, where's that wolf? Where's that wolf? I'm so worried. Where's that wolf? No, they stand right by the edge without fear at all because they trust the shepherd. And in the world that we live in, sometimes the shepherd representing a man, he's going to let that sheep stand over by the edge there and the wolf is going to get him. But that sheep didn't worry about it. That sheep trusted that shepherd that failed. But see, we have a chief shepherd who never fails. And He'll never allow that devil to snatch you. He'll never allow that wolf to get you. I mean, you can stand right where you want in peace, understanding that we have one who's going to keep us from that devil. And Jesus' prayer to the Father in John chapter 17, he asked the Father, he says, I have given them your word. See, He gave us that power of God. And the world hates them because they're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world, see? And He says, but I pray that not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. And that's what He does. And that's why we can have peace. Because our God is keeping us. We're upheld by His hands. And nobody can take that away. And so we are the children of peace that surpasses all understanding. So what do we do in the meantime? What do we do from here forward? Regardless of how dark this world becomes, we have to put out our hands on the plow. And we don't want to look back. Jesus says, no one having put his hand on the plow and he looks back is worthy of the kingdom of God. We need to do the work that we're called to do. Right? I want to be a worker for the Lord. And we need to do that work. And we need to be evangelistic. And we need to share the good news with our neighbors who are troubled by this world. We need to give the promises of God and be the lights of the world to people who don't know God. People who are confused by false teaching. People who have no relationship whatsoever in the first place. We need to be a people of peace so that they look at us and say, how can you be at peace when these people are making decisions that are so contrary to what you believe? I have peace because the great shepherd keeps me. And He can keep you. We need to be workers. We need to put our hands on that plow and do the work. Because there's going to be a day when there won't be any more work to do. And that day is coming. We must continue to let our light shine for Jesus. And when we do that, listen, it brings glory to God. Let your light so shine before men, Jesus said, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. As children of the peace that surpasses all understanding, we have a completely wide open door to do these great things for God, to bring glory to Him through our lives, through our words, through our actions, through our habits, that other people may see and bring glory to God. And also, we must preach the word of truth in season and out of season. And so, you know, Paul wrote, "But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up all things into Him who is the head, even Christ." And then by that, we understand that when somebody questions us about the decision, we tell them it's ungodly. And we show them the scriptures where Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 10 about men with men in the same bed together and how that's a sin. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, Leviticus chapter 10, where it's an abomination to the Lord for a man to lay with a man as with a woman. We just show them the scriptures and we speak those truths in love. And we convince, rebuke, and exhort. That's what we need to do. And as long as we're doing that, and we know that we're speaking the oracles of God, we will have peace. The world won't. The world will still hate. The world will look at you as though there's something strange about you because you don't follow their ways. But listen, you know the way you're following is going to lead to heaven, that home. You know that when the Lord comes back and every knee bows and confesses, you'll be on that side of the cross that's confession is leading to heaven. And you'll have peace. "Peace I leave with you," Jesus said. "My peace I give you, not as the world gives, but I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." There's nothing this world can do. Nothing that should be able to take away your peace. But listen, you know, if you're not in the body of Christ, then you don't have that peace. Because the promise that when you die, that you'll go into heaven only comes if you're in Christ. So the question is today, would you please listen to these words? Listen to what Jesus says, "My peace I leave with you." You can have that peace. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and you read that verses 9 through 10, Paul tells us that the lawless one, Satan himself, is coming into the world. And he's going to come into the world with all kinds of signs and powers and wonders. And he's going to come in with all unrighteousness and deception. But he's coming in among those who perish. Those who don't have the peace of God. Those who are not in Christ because they've been stubborn. And it says he comes in with those who will perish because they did not receive the love of the truth. The truth is that we have to obey the gospel of Christ. If you're outside of God, you may have a pretty decent life and you may be a good, righteous person in yourself, but those attributes anybody can have. But you can't have that peace that surpasses all understanding if you're not in Christ. If you don't receive the love of the truth is you must believe, you must repent. You must confess that the Lord is the Son of God and you must be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. And He will add you to this kingdom, translate you into the kingdom of His dear Son, according to the will of God. And then you will have peace. You will never question in your mind anymore for one second, "Am I saved?" You won't have to, because He said, "If you keep my will, that you will be with me, with the Father, in heaven." Listen, many will perish in this world today because they don't love the truth over and above all else. So the invitation is here. Will you accept the peace that Jesus offers? Will you allow yourself to be immersed in the waters of baptism, to be added to the kingdom, and to have that peace that surpasses all understanding, so that the world out there just can't shake you and move you? And if you are a Christian and you've been shaken, either by your own sin or just by the things of this world, and you've lost your trust in that great shepherd, and you've walked down a path that you shouldn't be on, then you need that peace. You need to have that peace again. You come back to the Lord, repent of your sin, and confess that. And the Lord will give you that peace. The invitation is there for anyone who has a need, whatsoever that need may be. I invite you tonight to come forward, or today, as we stand and as we sing.